Cape Crusaders, and welcome to another edition of Batman, the Animated Series Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Robson, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my brother, comic book artist and writer, and the guys whose stage name is Mad Scatter. It's Mr. Will Robson. Say hello, Will.
That's also my sitting on the toilet name as well.
Make your mind control. No?
No, keep going. Do the whole song.
See, if anyone's listening and not looking at the video, they can't see your face just looking at me, shaking your head like, you fucking loser.
Yeah, well, I do that all the time. That's people get to finally see how I look at high disdain towards you as we make this podcast.
All right, Mad Scatter, how's the art life?
Art life, it's going. I'm coming towards the end of my Rocket Raccoon and Doctor Doom team-up book for Marvel, which has been great. I should be done, like, February 8th-ish, and then I'm off to the Middle East for Middle Eastern Film and Comic-Con, so if any listeners are in the Abu Dhabi area, then that's where I'm going to be.
What dates are those?
I think it's the 8th to 11th of February, or around there, or like 9th or something. I don't know the dates. I just got the invite now, and I've got to put together, we're doing an exclusive cover for Outbreaks number 1, so I'm putting that together this weekend, which will be a Comic Cave exclusive. Those are the great people that are inviting me to come over there. So if you come to the show, we're only printing 100 of them, and they're like MEFCC and Comic Cave exclusive covers for my book, Outbreaks. So that's really cool. And if you haven't read my book, Outbreaks, then you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Global Comics. You can go to my website, speechcomics.com, and read part of it for free if you want to. And remember, in April, issue 3 is launching. And if you haven't read it yet, it's the perfect place to jump on to read it, because I'm releasing issues 1 through 3. And that's a completed story called Rotten Luck. And that's our first little story of the Outbreaks world. And then who knows where we're going to go from there. It depends on how much freaking money I make. Because if I make nothing, then that's the end of Outbreaks. And if I make money, then hooray, it continues. So,
all right, well, that sounds good. What are you doing at the Comic-Con? What are you offering? What's your table going to look like?
I'm going to be doing commissions, sketch covers. I've got some Outbreak sketch covers for sale. And I'm also going to be selling, like I said, the exclusive cover to Outbreaks. But I'll also have stuff from my career. Like, I got a few Howard the Ducks that I drew recently and other bits and bobs. I've got to dig out all that DC stuff that I have no idea went. The Batman Urban Legends stuff. I had tons of comps of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just disappeared. I have no idea where it's gone. So I have to find that somewhere. Yeah, and I'm doing that. And I'll sell some bum-bums, the Spawn Tom McFarlane bum-bums that we created, which is fun.
That name.
Well, the best is when you open the packaging and you pull it out. And you know how, like, with packaging, they do, like, the foam cut of the packaging? You just see, like, these butt cheeks, like, in the crevices, like, at the bottom of the foam. Because the toy has big, juicy butt cheeks.
So. Thick.
Yeah, these goddamn thick. So, yeah, that's what I'll be doing. And then I'll be dicking about in Dubai and having a good time. Go to that place. There's a place out there that has the best goddamn chicken wings in the world.
Oh, yeah. I remember you literally so calling me to tell me.
They're such good chicken wings. And I'm going to film the experience and edit it for my YouTube. So if no one's watching me on YouTube.
Awesome.
I'm doing this new thing this year where I'm trying to be more active on YouTube because I want to, one, get more exposure towards my own work, like Outbreaks. And two, I do have a little bit of a passion for teaching and helping people that are aspiring artists and creators, like, get into the business. And one of the most satisfying things recently, Bud, has been my Discord. I've got 2 extremely active members in there, and I'm helping them build up their portfolios to send off to Marvel and DC. One's an inker and one's a pencil inker. And their work's getting so much better, and it's just, like, I love it. I love, like, seeing this stuff and be like, oh, if you do this, this, and this, then it will lead you towards this, this, and that. And people are like, oh, like their minds exploding. And I'm like,
well,
man,
that's
I
amazing.
Wish I had that. I wish I had something like that when I was trying to break in. Just access to a professional, like, reviewing my work constantly. That's how you really get through. Because everyone in the group is, like, nearly there. Or some of them, like the inker that just joined, he's good to go. He just needs to be pointed in the right direction. So, yeah, it's been really great and fun. So if you want to do that, then check out my Patreon. And that's the end of me plugging. I mean, you know, if you're a listener, we start this podcast with me going, go buy this, go buy that.
Look at my dick. Yeah. Look at my dick. Look at my big dick full of all these rewards.
Look at my tiny dick. I'm all balls, baby.
Well, speaking of tiny dick and all balls, do you want to cast the Mad Hatter?
No, I bet he's hanging hog, bro. I bet he's got fucking big, big Johnson.
Yeah, he's one of those unsuspecting types, right? Where his dick is as big as his friggin' bow tie.
He's got huge nuts. One's called Tweedledee and the other one's called Tweedledum.
Who will they cast in this pod?
Okay, we're going to cast the Mad Hatter today. It's the first time we come across this character, and every time we come across a new character, we cast him in our fan-casted Batman the Animated Series live-action universe. What would it look like today? So we got to go Monday with this. My first question to you, which is the usual question I ask, how old do you think the Mad Hatter is?
He's going after quite a young woman.
Who
is dating a guy who looks fairly young himself, so... I've always pictured Batman to be like a man in his 40s, but...
Me too.
I think he could be younger. Like, you could definitely have a younger Mad Hatter easily.
Yeah, you could have someone both, in his 30s.
Both of my choices are people in their 30s around you, my age. I was going to say you are my age, but you are a little bit older.
I'm in my 30s, fuck off.
Yeah, but how 37?
Yes, that's 30s.
That's 40.
Look, you're a 40 it's year old. Not.
You know what? My casting choice? Alex Robson is the Mad Hatter. There we go.
Blonde, the sound of my voice.
Yeah, you're blonde, you got blue eyes. Just stick some Rancor's yellow teeth out there, you'll be good to go.
He had some gross yellow teeth, didn't he?
The color of his eyeballs are white, and they're not the same color as his teeth.
No, his teeth, like, he's a heavy smoker.
Yeah, he's a classic incel. And it's like, it's so funny, like, him being like, oh, why don't women like me? And it's like, because your teeth are gross, man.
Bet his breath stinks too.
I bet it's the worst.
Okay, so we've got Mad Hatter. We've already described him pretty well. So I want you to go. Gross teeth, incel, bad breath.
Sounds like I'm 16 years old.
Okay, I would like you to go first with your choices, with your backups first, and then tell me your number one choice.
So my backup was, I just wanted someone to be awkward, you know, the classic, not obviously an incel, but I mean, this character is basically an incel.
Oh, definitely.
Because super in love with a girl that's, come on, mate, just know your role. She's out of your league, right?
Yeah. And also, even if she wasn't, she's not interested, so move on. But we'll get this in the review. So
and also, like, you've only showed two sides to yourself. One is a, oh, hi there, it's, you know, nice to meet you. Oh, yeah, well, bother, you know, practically freaking Eeyore. And then the other side is, hello, good madam. Let me show you across Gotham City and the wonders that lay upon it. Like, those are two of the worst sides of a man. And that is incel behavior. It's all the, hello, milady, I am a white knight, and I shall be the one that saves you. Hate all that. So... I wanted to get a guy who just could encapsulate that character, like the creepy, the kind of stalkerish for this woman, and she doesn't really even know it, and then that slow unravel into, no pun intended, madness. So,
Are you going British? That's my.
Both my actors are British.
Oh, see, I couldn't. I was okay. Go ahead.
So my first choice that I thought of was, I want someone awkward and that. Someone that encapsulates awkwardness really well. And you could see him being extremely uncomfortable. And obviously the most important thing is, can the dude rock the big hat? Like, can he wear that outfit? So my first choice was actually Freddie Highmore, who is Norman Bates from Bates Motel.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Who plays an awkward guy in Bates Motel.
Oh, that's pretty
he also
good.
Plays a character that suffers from extreme autism in The Good...
Good Doctor.
The Good Doctor, something like that. Mm-hmm. He's great in that, and he's got piercing blue eyes as well. So that was my first choice, and I was like, I'm done. Like, this is good. But the thing is, he is not unattractive. Like, he's a pretty good-looking guy.
Mm.
And I was like, you just need someone that's got that bit of an uggo edge. You know what I mean with the Mad Hatter? Like, it's like, all right, like, you ain't got much going on for you here.
He's
so.
Got, and he needs, like, a bit of a beak. He's got quite the Roman nose, in a way. Like, he's got a big old schnoz, yeah.
And... I mean, so like, I mean, if we weren't casting, if we were just casting the perfect people for this, we already know Martin Short would be a great Mad Hatter. We know that. Yeah. Also, I say that the guy who plays Santa Claus in Christmas with the Cranks is the Mad Hatter. Like, he looks exactly like him.
Yes,
he even sticks his teeth out like
the same. If we were doing 20 years ago, he'd be perfect.
Well, 20 years ago, he was 63, so he'd still be a bit old. But
That
guy's an 83-year-old man now. Christmas with the Cranks came out 20 years ago.
Well, okay, so 40 years ago. All right, anyway.
Anyway, so I started thinking about more characters that I've seen recently. Because one of my favorite things to do when we do this casting is I just, like, look at stuff that I've watched that I really enjoy, and I look through the cast. And I suddenly thought of, oh, this guy would be great because I've seen him play really creepy characters. Did you see that film? It's got a really bad title. It's on Netflix, but it's a good movie called The Devil... You All the Time or something like that. It's with...
Oh, is that with... I haven't seen it. It's with Tom Holland, right?
Tom Holland, the guy who played Batman recently.
Robert Pattinson, yeah.
Winter Soldier guy. And a bunch
of... It's, again, the actors.
All superheroes.
Yeah, all superheroes,
And there's a character in it who plays a guy. He's kind of like a false prophet. And he thinks, like, he can revive the dead and stuff. And he's a lunatic and socially awkward. And the actor who plays him is... Harry Melling. Now, do you know that name?
No. What's he been in?
Harry Potter. The Dudley son.
Oh, I'm being an idiot. Harry Melling is on my list.
Oh, is he?
Yes, because he was also Edgar Allan Poe in The Pale Blue Eye with Christian Bale. He plays Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, no, my background.
I can't see. I can't
see. My background's not showing the
image. I know who you're talking about. He plays Dudley Dursley. There's an
image,
Potter.
Yeah, but there's an image of him from that pale whatever thing. And you can't see it. Where he's got a Mad Hatter hat on. I don't mean to put you out, but if you're doing a video edit, chuck a picture of him up there with his Mad Hatter hat on, and he looks the business. And I think he's actually a really good actor. Like, did you see that Western, the Coen Brothers Western on Netflix as well? Buster Scruggs.
It's like three different stories.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did
he plays
that.
The guy with no arms and no legs with Liam Neeson in that. And he travels him around to make stuff, and he's brilliant in
and
that.
There was also a graphic novel movie on Netflix with Charlize Theron where they're like immortal hitmen, and he's the like mad scientist evil guy. And that's why I put him on this list, because he's got a quite sinister side. Yeah, I mean, that might be the choice then.
Isn't it fun that you and I are choosing him for different like stuff we've seen? That to me says he'd be perfect, because
he's got the features of Mad Hatter. He does. He looks like that type of like crazy, eccentric, obsessive over this book type of guy. Okay. Now I had Harry Melling as my backup choice.
Okay.
He's 34, Harry Melling, so he's pretty good age.
That's how old I will be this year.
Yes. Now, would you like to hear my choices that are slightly too old but would have been quite good?
My classic Batman is John Hamm. Go on.
My number one choice, but he is too old because he's 61, but if we went back in time like 20 years, would be Steve Carell. I think Steve Carell would have been an amazing Mad Hatter. Mm. His Dinner for Schmucks with the mice, like he's obsessed over the mice in Dinner for Schmucks. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. Michael Scott vibes all the way with his obsession over women. He dressed up as Willy Wonka in The Office.
And like Willy Wonka,
You know, he's got that goofy grin. He's got that bigger nose. Put some fake teeth in Steve Carell, and he'd be so good as the Mad Hatter. I can see him.
Shout.
I see him being like when she opens the door, and he's like, "Hello, Miss Pleasance," you know, and he's like doing all of that stuff. But again, he's too old, which is a shame. And also, Steve Carell's
British.
And not British, and he's turned into quite the good-looking guy in his Silver Fox time.
Yeah, he has. Yeah,
he doesn't suit, but my choice, he's 46, okay? So might be slightly too old, but I think he looks like the Mad Hatter. He's English. He's got that kind of like slightly creepo vibe to him. Is John Oliver, who hosts Last Week Tonight. He's Zazu in The Lion King, that voice. And he's just like, I can see him in the outfit and like being like over the Kaloo, Calais, and like doing all of that stuff. Harry Melling, I don't like, I think he's right, but I just don't see that like that kind of whimsical fun side that I see in John Oliver.
I definitely think he could do the whimsical fun side. I mean, as a southern priest, he was quite whimsical in the thing that that I talked about, the devil all the time. And I think he's more age appropriate against Miles Teller's Batman, who we have casted in this universe. I think, first of all, I'm shocked that John Oliver is only 46 years old. That dude needs to moisturize because he looks like 15 years older than that. My God. And I think he's aged out a bit. And like, if you think, like, the point of this is we're casting for Batman the Animated Series, the TV show, which means that dude would be really obsessed with a very young Alice, which adds a different level of creep factor that I don't know you want to bring into Batman the Animated Series.
I mean, it's Gotham. It's a messed up place. And, like, that does happen, like, especially in the workplace. Older men, like, because they're put in the same workplace as young women, sometimes can be quite weird about it and obsessive. I mean, do you want to leave it to the listeners or now the viewers? Yeah. If our video, let's have a toss up. We'll go on social media. You can check us out at Instagram, Batman TAS Pod. I'll have a poll when this episode comes out. And you can vote there. Or if you don't have Instagram, because I know some people are like, oh, I don't have Instagram and I can't vote, you can email us at batmantaspod@gmail.com. And you can send in your choice of who you think should be the Mad Hatter. Should it be John Oliver or should it be Harry Melling? So
or a choice of your own.
Yeah, maybe we haven't thought about it. I mean, one of the other guys I threw in there, again, he's American, and I think he's too good looking. But I did have Charlie Day in there for a while because of... No, I mean, his Charlie character in his obsession over the waitress, all of that.
I feel like you're just thinking about people that have worn a top hat before. Like, you're
thinking it about works. His, like,
just because he was the day man doesn't mean that he should be the Mad Hatter.
No, I know. But I think Steve Carell would have been perfect 20 years ago. But John Oliver and Harry Melling. Yeah, John Oliver or Harry Melling are our choices. Who do you think should be the Mad Hatter? Email us, vote, whatever you guys need to do, and we'll announce it on the next episode.
Yeah, and make sure when you put my picture up, it's him with the little hat on, because that's the swayer.
Oh, yeah, I've got to find... I don't think I'll be able to find a John Oliver with a top hat.
I'm sure that dude's worn a few top hats in his time. I mean, yeah. I've heard the way he speaks. That dude, when he gets married, he's choosing a top hat. At
Good day to you, madam. Yeah. I can just see him being the Mad Hatter. I really can. All right. So we'll announce next week who is the choice for the Mad Hatter. Are you ready to review this episode, bud?
Let's do it.
Okay, this episode is titled Mad as a Hatter. It came out on the 12th of October, 1992. It was directed by Frank Parr, written by Paul Dini, animation by Acom Productions. We've got Kevin Conroy as Batman Bruce Wayne, Efren Zimlis Jr. as Alfred Pennyworth and Antoine. We've got Steve Bullen as Police Dispatcher, the Thug, and the Security Guard, David Haskell as Billy and the Thug, Roddy McDowall as Jervis Tetch and the Mad Hatter, Kimmy Robertson as Alice, and Loretta Swit as Marsha Cates. Honorable mentions here, Acom animated this episode, and they previously animated episodes that we reviewed, which were Christmas with the Joker, The Last Laugh, Be a Clown, The Cat in the Claw Part 2, Prophecy of Doom, and Feet of Clay Part 1. So Acom's one of those that has always gotten a bad rap when we obviously have watched previous episodes that I just listed there. Do you think the animation looked good in this episode?
I don't think it looked bad.
I don't think it looked bad either. I thought it was all right. Director Frank Parr has been credited previously on this podcast in our Be a Clown review, as well as being a guest on this show as well, where we chatted with him about his time as a director on Batman. So go back and check out that episode if you haven't yet already. Writer Paul Dini is well known for his achievements in writing and has been credited previously on this podcast in our Joker's Favor review. Okay, acting creds. All returning characters have been credited previously on this podcast in their first appearances, such as Efren Zimlis Jr. as Alfred in The Last Laugh or Kevin Conroy as Batman in On Leather Wings. So go back and listen to those episodes if you're interested in learning more about those voice actors. As far as new creds go, we've got Steve Bullen as Police Dispatcher, Thug, and the Security Guard. He's been in tons of anime, mostly stuff I didn't recognize, but there's quite a few anime fans out there that listen to this show, so I thought I'd just throw that in there. And he also plays a number of different characters in Transformers, such as Sure Shot and Onslaught. So again, we weren't big Transformers people, but that was notable that I saw. David Haskell, who plays Billy, He's a doctor in the movie K-9, which is a movie with a guy and like a German Shepherd who's like a police officer, and it's like a team up thing that came out in the early 90s. And we've got Nick Harley in Santa Barbara. He played and drama teacher and body double. So not much that I recognize, but those are the few creds that I saw. He died in 2000 at the age of 52. So quite a young age. Kimmy Robertson, who plays Alice, she's known for playing the Feather Duster in Beauty and the Beast. She's also known playing for Gloria Forrester in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And she's also played Lisa in Speed 2 Cruise Control. And she plays a character named Margot in Batman Beyond.
I bet that probably blew your mind because you're the biggest Speed 2 fan I know. Actually, no, I'll correct myself. You are the only Speed 2 fan that I know.
No, me and my missus, we like Speed 2 quite a bit.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's a guilty pleasure. Does
she
though,
or is she like appeasing you?
She's no, because like, she likes.
I love it.
She likes Sandy. She likes Sandra Bullock a lot. So she'll watch anything with Sandy in it. And yeah. And it's a good movie, man. Willem Dafoe's a great bad guy. It's the Joker that we never got to see. He's like now, let loose in that.
To be fair, I haven't seen it since 1997. So it's been a while. I remember that the main actor from it came to my middle school as a speech because he went to our middle school.
Yes.
And he was like, look how far I can go. And I was sitting in the audience like, mate, you were in Speed 2. I was
like, you were there. Yeah,
not that far is what I wanted to say.
You were there because Keanu said he wasn't going to do the sequel.
Exactly.
That's why you were chosen, yeah.
What have you done since Speed 2?
Look, I know it's not a good movie, but to me, I really enjoy it. It's a guilty pleasure, and I just like the idea of it being on a boat. And anyway, it's a good film, and I recognized when she played the... Kimmy Robertson plays Lisa, who's a character in Speed 2. I know exactly who that character is, and I can now hear Alice's voice, and I'm like, that's exactly who Alice is. It did blow my mind when I saw that. Then we got Loretta Swit, who plays Marsha Cates, who's the boss at Wayne Enterprises.
Why does she have such beef with him? Like, why does she hate him?
I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe she just doesn't like how like weird he is, because he's a weird dude.
It's like Bruce Wayne comes in, who runs the fucking company, and he's like, mate, take your time. You're one of our best scientists. Take all the time in the world. And he's like, thanks. And then she like gives him an absolute stink, like, you got away easy this time, but next time I'm gonna beat your ass. And it's like, where is this coming from? Like, the boss said, oh, he's got, like, give him some time. It's absolutely fine.
She plays Major Margaret Hot Lips Houlihan in MASH. That's the main thing. That's a hell
Hot
of a
Lips
name.
Houlihan,
Hot Lips Houlihan in MASH. That's the only credit I could see, but she was almost in every episode of MASH, so she must have been a big character. So if you're a MASH fan, that's who she is. And finally, we got Roddy McDowall as Jervis Tetch and the Mad Hatter. He's known for playing Peter Vincent in Fright Night, which I've never seen. Have you ever seen Fright Night?
I just bought that movie in because I'm going to watch it soon. So,
well, Roddy McDowall, Mad Hatter's in it. So look out for him.
Because I was looking at the movie and I was like, I've never seen this movie. I know the title. I watched some clips from it. I liked the vampires in it. So I was like, I'll buy it. It was on sale for $2.99. I'll pick it up.
Nice plug. Then we got Caesar in Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. So he plays the main ape in that film.
Oh, okay.
And we've also got Octavian in Cleopatra and Sir Quackmire Mallard in Darkwing Duck. And finally, he has also played a previous Batman villain as he played the Bookworm in Batman 66.
Okay.
So, and the Bookworm is very similar to the Mad Hatter. So I was like, oh, this is basically him redoing that, but in like a more 90s way instead of a 60s way.
Yeah, you're a big Batman 66 guy.
I am. And like, again, I didn't really know that until I was looking up his creds and I was like, of course that's the Mad Hatter. Like, I can hear the voice now. It's so clear. Roddy McDowall sadly died in 1998 at the age of 70. So quite some time ago.
Young.
All right. Utility belt of fun facts here. We've got Mad Hatter refers to Alice once in the episode by saying, good evening, Miss Pleasance. This is a reference to Alice Pleasance Liddell, a likely inspiration for the character in Alice in Wonderland. So there we go. That's a connection there that they kind of went deep. Paul Dini, you know, he likes to go deep on some of the lore and connecting stuff.
Paul Dini likes to go deep.
Frank Parr has noticed that despite this being one of Acom's best episodes, he said we still had close to 100 retakes on it. Oh. So even though we say that ACOM gets a bad rap and they don't look as bad as people have said, or at least we haven't gotten to those episodes where we think this looks really bad, I'm sure it looked really bad and it must have been really annoying having that many retakes.
100?
That's crazy, isn't it?
I went full Robert De Niro face on that. You know what I mean? I think 200 different takes.
And that's why when we talked to Frank Parr and we were talking about ACOM, you could just see, you could hear the frustration, because it's not like you're getting all these beautiful, like, TMS animation cells where you're like, I don't have to do much of this. Like, you're probably getting so many sendbacks overseas, yeah, do this again, do this again.
What's the schedule behind and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. In the first half of the episode, Jervis Tech's eyes are blue, but in the second half, they are colored black, which is an interesting change. I don't know if that was done on purpose or not, because he's obviously become a villain, so he's got a black soul.
Soul has darkened through his eyes.
Yeah. The chef that serves Alice and the Mad Hatter is the same chef from the Rose Cafe in episode Pretty Poison, and he's also at Jordan's birthday party in Be a Clown.
Oh, so he gets around.
He does get around. Then we got Jervis Tech refers to his favorite book being Alice in Wonderland, though the book's actual title is Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. So sort of specifics there, I'm like, semantics, but still, that's part of the facts.
That's like then, in the Office with, it's Willy Wonka. That's the name of the movie. Actually, it's based off a book called Charlie and the Chocolate Bear. I can't.
Pam. The Mad Hatter's poem, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Bat, How I Wonder What You're At, is spoken by the Dormouse in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. So that's actually a quote from the book, which I thought was an interesting little
I assumed so.
Did you? I thought he was just like trying to throw in a little limerick and like threw the bat in there and rhymed it with that. I thought he was just being silly. I didn't know it was actually from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, I just assumed it was.
Well,
he's pretty one-note, this dude. He's really obsessed.
Okay, well, that leads me to my question then. What did you think of the Mad Hatter as a character?
I really enjoyed this episode. Mad Hatter has never been at the top of my list, but now watching it as like a 30-something-year-old guy, like clearly seeing like that he's just a fucking incel, that like he is like completely obsessive over something that he's just like, there's so much stuff where it's like, you know what you need? You need what's it called? The guys from Queer Eye to come in. That's what you need.
What, and to fix him up?
To fix him up. Because, like, why go to that level of, like, oh, like, this women don't want me, like, and all this stuff? Because that's what, you know, he's thinking. Like, oh, I'm obsessed with this girl, but she doesn't pay attention to me. Maybe it's because you got yellow fucking teeth and shabby hair, and when you talk to her, you're like, oh, how's it going? And like, when you think you're dressing up, your choice is to wear the world's biggest freaking bow tie in the world.
It's ridiculous.
And a collar popped over your ears and a top hat. So yeah. I think that the Queer Eye guys should come down. They should doll him up, like, being like, oh, he loves Alice in Wonderland. Like, we'll do subtle things, like maybe inside your suit jacket there'll be like a Mad Hatter pattern or something like that. That's for you, not for everybody else. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Ah, I love it.
Yeah. And then like talking to like the one guy who's like the therapist guy, and like, you know, really like be like, come on, mate, like just brush your teeth. Like, it's not that hard. But we'll find out like, oh, like I was a child, like I don't know, something happened where he didn't brush his like teeth, and he didn't get like yelled at by his parents that day, so he,
I mean, you're going deep on this lore. I think that he is a good character. He's definitely how I see the Mad Hatter in every other iteration. Like, Roddy McDowell does a great like characterization of him. I think his voice is perfect. I love how whimsical it is, and it kind of like floats, but then when he's like mad and he's like, he's tense, he can be quite intimidating. You're like, oh, yeah, that guy like has an axe. Well, I'm like, dude, that's scary.
When he's running at Batman with the axe, he's intimidating. I mean, that's why, you know, like those people, they do go over the edge. Those incels,
they do,
people die. So like, watch absolutely. Out, everybody. That's why get the Queer Eye guys in there, sort them out before he sorts everyone else out.
What did you think of the music in this episode?
Yeah, that's a classic theme. Like, this is my favorite version of Mad Hatter, period. Like, I don't really like the interpretation of him in the Arkham games. I feel like they kind of missed the note there a little bit, because he should be like a creepy, dude. Like, and it really suits like the character and being obsessive and like, but also what he invented is revolutionary technology.
I know.
My God.
I know.
I don't know what the real world positive applications of that could be. I guess.
Well, this is really interesting because I realized watching this episode that this entire beginning is ripped off by Batman Forever. Batman Forever ripped off this entire villain plot, but instead of Mad Hatter, they made it the Riddler, because you've got a deranged Wayne Enterprises employee who creates a mind manipulation device, which is what Edward Nygma did, and that's obviously what Jervis Tetch did. You got Bruce Wayne comes to visit the lab. The boss,
the guy's quite incel-y.
Yes, the boss of this incel employee also doesn't like him. You've got
back to work, Nygma.
It's Edward, but yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh. Edward.
We've got also his like whole obsession with someone. I know that Edward Nygma is obsessed with Bruce Wayne, but it's still an obsession, isn't it? Like, it's still an obsession over someone that's like related to Wayne Enterprises. And I really was like, this is Batman Forever. I was watching it. I was like, this Batman Forever stole this whole beginning.
Get Seal to do music. There's a creepy man and he don't brush his teeth.
Please floss and make sure you rinse twice.
Hello. I do not want to get kissed from your gross ass teeth.
I do like the Mad Hatter's theme, as you said. It's like mischievous and it's got a sense of innocence to it as well. But what I really noticed is, did you notice when he asked Alice to dance, the beginning notes of da da dun dun da da dun?
Oh yeah, I noticed.
Batman 89, that's the Joker dance theme with Vicky Vale. It's like, wow, that's a total like blend of that music.
But that also is just classic waltz music as well. Like, it's not like...
That was too on the nose.
I guess so, but it was... I mean, that's just waltz. Like, it's a style of music.
Yeah. What do you think of Mad Hatter's little mice servants that were helping him?
I was blown away. I was like, mate, you just discovered... I don't know the real world applications of what you've discovered. Because you could do some really fucked up... That's why when it was in the hands of an incel, it's like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, what's he going to do? Yeah. I see some sexual assault allegations going on at Wayne Manor. Wayne Enterprises coming soon.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, but his little... as far as what we... it's a kid cartoon, so obviously it's got some innocence to it. And when he had the mice, like, bring him the cup of tea, I was like, who made that cup of tea? Like...
Mice.
I was like, we got a Ratatouille thing going on here? Like, what's happening?
They sat like, on like the kettle and turned it on.
How long on that tea bag? Got 2 minutes, chef. Yeah, it's funny.
I think Paul Dini made this episode. Is that what you said?
He wrote this episode, yes.
I think the arc in it is really great of him slowly becoming the Mad Hatter. Especially when he finally sticks, like, when he said enough and he sticks the thing on his boss, being like, oh, shut up, basically, like, on his boss's head. But I love what I really liked about this episode was he was like, I want Alice. And at first he's like, hey, just stick the device on the head and she's yours. And he's like, no, because I wouldn't have earned her love there. And I love that his arc is, I'm going to try and earn her love. Like, I'm going to show her a night on the town. I'm going to get rid of that boyfriend. And then I'm just going to keep doing stuff that shows that I am, like, an amazing choice. Like, after that, my favorite bit is, like, when he's after the date and he's, like, dancing away, like, ooh, I've had the best date and it's been great. And I just love that it ends with him being like, well, you've left me no choice now, because it's, like, a weird, like, that's why I like it. That's why these types of characters scare me, because from day one, he's been like, you're fucking mine. I own you. Like, and... the fact that he's like, I'll play the game to try and win your affections the right way. And the moment it's like, nope, well, you're still mine. So boom, now I control. Yeah. And that's why
it was almost
Batman.
Like he thought he was the good guy the entire time, right?
Obviously.
Like, he never thought he was doing anything wrong.
No, but no, I disagree, because the fact that that's why I like the ending with Batman being like, you got what you always wanted, was like just a puppet, was him.
Or as I said out loud, a sex doll. Because he's like, a mindless doll.
Why so shocked, darling?
not going to make any more jokes about that. The whole thing, you're right, like the mind manipulation and him waiting until the very end when he realizes there's no hope for me to get Alice, so I'm gonna
no he doesn't realize it. Batman makes it clear to him. That's why I like it. That's how Batman beat him. He was like, hey buddy, yeah, like you wanted this woman, but you have resorted to just like treating her as just like a puppet and a toy. And he realizes, oh fuck, that's not what I wanted. I said to myself, you can't do that. That's not how you'll get her love. And when he realizes, oh crap, I've done what I said I shouldn't have, he was like, oh, I really biffed that one.
Yeah.
I biffed it. Biffed it hard.
Yeah, he gives up. The moment his boss said heads will roll, I thought like, that's a bit shocking to hear in a kid's cartoon. Alfred even says the word suicide later on too. And I'm just like, there's some words in this that I'm like, this would not fly in a kid's cartoon today. That's heads will roll. And I know it was supposed to be Evil Queen and she becomes Evil Queen later.
Oh so yeah. But did sense. She just, did she record her line of dialogue once? Because she's like, off with his head. And then like every time she says it, by the way, off with his head. I feel like she recorded it once. She's like, I gotta go. I gotta pick up my kids. Like you got it right. One take. We're good. All right. Bye.
When Alice answers the door and we see Mad Hatter for the first time, I laughed so hard because imagine opening the door to a date that's dressed like that and starts like speaking like that. I'd slam the door in his face. I'd be like,
crack up. I'd be like, let's go on this date. This is going to be interesting.
The giant bow tie is so extra. I'm like, where did you even get that thing? It's ridiculous. So what did you think of the scene where the thugs tried to rob Mad Hatter and Alice?
I thought it was extremely convenient that both of them were like, hey, I'm going to wear my headband today, but I'm wearing my headband. All right, we'll wear different colored headbands then. Okay, all right, fine. I get to wear the black one. I want to wear the black one.
I mean, they're like extras from Cobra Kai or something, you know what I mean? Like competing dojos. And I thought, like, if Mad Hatter doesn't find people with head accessories, hats, bandanas, headbands.
It was very convenient for the beginning of this episode.
He's fucked, right? Like, he can't beat them. I know he puts it in behind the ear of the boss, but he, like, sticks it in her hair. So I guess that's the only thing. But if you're going up against a dude with, like, a shaved head, you're like, well, I can't beat that guy. He's won.
Well, no, he graduated at the end by giving Alice a headband that he could just put on, like, somebody's head.
True.
But, yeah, it was a lot of convenience with all that. But they did have a good line when he was like, I forgot exactly what the line was, but he was like, oh, I like to take from a man or whatever it is. And they're like, hey, that's our philosophy too. Like, we're going to rob you. I thought the introduction of those thugs was good.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And, like, imagine, because he can't take control of Batman. You know, like, there's nowhere to put the card. So he, imagine he's like, Batman, a little bowler hat would look nice in between those two big pointy ears of yours. What do you think?
You work so hard, maybe a little sweatband to go over your head.
What about this Nike branded one? It's very nice.
Yeah. Unless you can, like, jam the card through one of the ears and it touches, like, his temple or something.
Yeah, good luck. So I want to talk about the most laziest thing I've seen Batman do in this entire show yet, which is his Batmobile binoculars.
Yeah. My God.
Where,
it takes like 10 seconds for him to like turn his head and then for the machine to calculate, like, all right, he's looking up that way to look up. And I was like, okay, in Batman's defense, maybe they like are not like a wireless binocular. They need to be plugged into something like so that he can like use it because it's like infrared or whatever. But still, you could have that loose and then like with the wires around. Like, what was the point? Like,
it's so lazy. And if his head's not in that perfect spot, was it like have to recalibrate? And the other thing is that like that's his version of the stick with the claw trying to grab the remote, right? Like, that's his like laziest invention yet. He could have just grabbed a pair of binoculars, which we've seen him use already, out of his utility belt.
Oh, so heavy.
It's so far away. Oh, it's in my belt.
The only thing, what if it's because it's more for when he's driving and he doesn't have the hands to use it, so you can just quickly like look in them and then keep driving?
But that doesn't seem safe because then you've got binoculars over your eyes and you need to see where you're driving.
Like a quick peek, you know, just like you're driving and then you're like, all right, the traffic's pretty clear. All right, quick peek. All right, okay.
That seems so ridiculous. Why not use a bat computer to zoom in on the thing that you need, which he has in the car
Alfred's
anyway?
Like, sir, I think it's time that you just let me come with you, okay? I'll look through the binoculars whilst you drive. I'll find plenty of sales on. It's like, Alfred, we're the richest people in Gotham City. Sales, we don't know. Hey, just because we're rich doesn't mean we can't enjoy a good sale.
Do you think he like had a budget for the binoculars and it was ridiculous? So that's why he's like, we might as well put it on mechanical arms and, you know, make it spend the whole thing. I just don't get it. And then
Lucius like, Fox had a surplus at the end of that or something.
And then even extra is him like saying engage. And then the rocket powered ejector seat goes off. And I was like, what if he says the word engage by accident whilst driving? Like he's
dead.
I must
go and engage the Joker.
He's on the phone with Alfred, and Alfred's like, you've been invited to a wedding, sir, so and so. And he's like, I didn't even know they were engaged. Oh, shit! Ah! Sir? Sir? Oh, he's gone. The ejector seat as well, like, it's got all of these, like, the glider attachments, and he's got all of these, like,
dude
buckles.
Dude was packing
and stuff.
Gadgets in this one, right?
It was definitely a toy grab, right? Like, I think they were like, we got to make another Batman version for toys, because that's what I think they were keeping in mind with that stuff. I didn't think he looked bad. I thought, like, the whole, like, get-up looked pretty cool, and the glider we haven't seen in a while, so that was
maybe
cool.
There was a mock-up for an early Batman Batmobile toy that had, like, goggles on a stick that came out, and then an ejector seat or something. And they went to Paul Dini, like, you got to include it. He was like, oh, fuck, all right.
Binoculars on robot arms. No one needs that. I did like how Hatter took control of, like, everyone in the restaurant that had a hat. He was just like, who's got a hat here? Oh, the chef has a hat. Pop that in there.
Yeah.
The photographer, pop that. The violinist, like, with those, like, Turkish hats or whatever, like, he popped that in there as well. It's such a stretch, but he even had them speaking in like broken French to him. And I was like, why is he making him do that? Is it because it's the like the love language maybe that he was making them be like sort of French? I don't know.
Potentially.
Do you think Alice got the ick the moment he took her to Wonderland?
I think she got an ick when he showed up with that big fucking bow tie.
Yeah, I think it's ridiculous that like there's a whole Wonderland exhibit in Gotham. I was like, why does this exist?
It said story time land or something like that. Did you see that?
But it was
like an amusement park, but for like, and they just happened to have a, I think they were kind of saying like it's like a Disney World basically that he took it
to. Yeah, I guess so.
So that's why that's there.
Yeah, I found it strange that like Gotham always has the most, if you're obsessed over something or you need a hideout, we got it for you, like ready to go. Even down to the mechanical like maze with the cards. I was like, that's dangerous. If kids were in that maze, like that's super dangerous. So Batman studies the mind control device, which he recognized from being at, you know, Wayne Enterprises. And then Alfred connects the dots for Batman even more by showing him a picture of Alice in Wonderland. And he goes, I saw that image earlier today. And then he taps his chin for a while, like he still can't figure it out. And I'm like, yeah. Dude, you're the greatest detective in the world. Like, it's
anything,
obviously him.
where did I see that before? It was at work. What did I do? I went to work. That's how it started. I drank a coffee. I said hello to Alfred. No, I'm standing here, sir. Yeah, but you could have been there. I don't think I've actually ever been to Wayne Enterprises.
So I've never left the cave.
I've never left Wayne. I've been here for 40 years. I have not left. I might be on a ball and chain here. I'm not quite sure. I think you may have put a chip in me. That's like one of those dog shock collars, because I was trying to garden, you know, around the edges of Wayne Manor, and something started shocking my throat. So I help if anybody can hear this. the Wayne family has held me captive for 40 years.
And then Batman's like, the Mad Hatter.
Jarvis. It was his favorite movie. Thanks, Alfred.
Help me. So when Hatter says goodbye to Alice and dances away, she says, what a funny, sweet man. And I thought it'd be funny if she's just like, what a fucking weirdo. Because that's exactly what she's thinking.
What a fucking loser. Mr. Freeze is hanging out there like, you don't want to go out with that fucking nerd. I can show you a really cool time in Gotham City.
How would I take you on two dates?
We can catch a double feature and we can have dessert and a main.
Come here, Jervis. Ah, wedgie.
Yeah, he would definitely get a wedgie from them.
Yeah.
This guy pulls big time.
I pull twice every night.
It's true. I've seen it. It's very impressive.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Harvey Dent's a pretty chill dude.
Oh my god.
Nice to meet you, Alice. Ah. Too far, sorry, too far.
Maybe we can double team sometime.
Eiffel Tower, yes.
Oh god.
Alice, where'd you go?
Oh, the police are here. So I love how Bruce seems like he loves a bit of gossip at the office. Like when he shows up, Alice tells him that like Tetch and his boss left together an hour ago. And he's like, together? And he like sits down and he looks like he's like, go on then, spill the tea. Like, do you think they're sleeping together? What do you think's happening? Are they dating? And then she answers the phone.
Hey, fucking.
She answers the phone. And he's like still hanging around. And she's like, my fiance. And he's like, oh, congratulations. And then he's still listening in like, I want the goss. Like, I'm here for the tea.
Well, to be fair, he's there because this is the number one suspect. So he's pretending to be like that as Bruce Wayne. But really, he's being a detective as Batman.
I know he's trying to be Bruce Wayne and not be suspicious. But I thought it was funny. And then also, I thought it was pretty bold of Alice to take a personal call in front of the company's CEO. Like, yeah, it'd be funny like, if my fiance, he's like, you're fucking fired.
It'd be funny if Bruce Wayne starts hitting on her now as well, being like, hey, all the men in Gotham are quite baddie, right? Like, they're crazy.
You know what my favorite movie is?
Zorro? No! That's where my parents died!
Did you laugh when Alice grabbed a flower from the bunch and Mad Hatter just pops up out of nowhere and he's like, hello? I was like, where the fuck did you come from? He just came out of nowhere. It was so funny. And then we've got Love That Batman for me is Hatter is trying to win Alice back in her apartment. And then Batman just steps out from the darkness and he's like a big shadowy figure. And I was like, you just look so cool. And the Batman theme plays. That was definitely my Love That Batman. And then what did you think of Batman versus Walrus and Carpenter scene in the apartment?
You know what made me realize, and this I might be sounding really dumb here. I'm a huge Beatles fan, right?
Right.
And then I was watching this and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that there's like a Walrus in Alice in Wonderland. And I was like, wait a minute. I am the Walrus, I am the Eggman. And I was like, is there an Eggman? Like a Humpty Dumpty in that situation?
Yeah, I think
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
I think it's Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And like, I think that's.
I was like, is that the reference that John Lennon's talking about in fucking I Am the Walrus? He's talking about fucking Alice in Wonderland.
I've always thought it was. Yeah,
it probably is. I've never looked into it, but like, yeah, I'm sure it's like a drug reference and stuff like that, right? Like, yeah, I know maybe. The Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds one, but
yeah, LSD, yeah,
yeah. But I never realized that before. So it's like one of those things where it's like I really should have known that. It's like when you just suddenly get an epiphany, like so far, like and it's just way too late. I'm trying to think of like, oh, it's like me right now being like, wait, was Bruce Willis dead at the end of Six? Oh my god, he was a ghost, I know what you mean. The whole time.
During the fight, Batman like picks up an armchair and just throws it at them with one arm like a frisbee, and I'm like, how light is that armchair? A whole sofa armchair. And he's just like, whoa, like a frisbee. That was just a stretch for me. Like, the animation was a bit clunky in that fight. And then you've got Batman versus all the Wonderland characters on the chessboard. What do you think of that whole scene?
There was a bit of a convenience part of that where they're like, and by the way, now that I control all of them, they're twice as strong.
Yes, that was kind of late in the description, you know, wasn't it?
That's why the mice could pour me a big drink of hot water because they are twice as strong.
That's true. And I guess that's how they pushed Batman off the bridge when he was trying to stop them. Although they were pretty big dudes in the first place. Yeah. But yeah.
I thought that if Batman died that way, it would have been like, I really biffed that one. Like, just the fact that he's like, he trains for like 7 years to be like the ultimate like warrior. And he dies by like two guys just like slowly moving towards him and pushing him off a bridge.
Whoopsie. Yeah. The final scene in the card maze felt very much like a video game as well. Like, because the Mad Hatter isn't a huge physical threat, it's like, oh, solve the puzzle, get through the maze to find me, Batman. I felt like that would be in a video game, that whole sequence.
Made me think of Court of Owls as well, like Scott Snyder's when he goes through that big maze.
Yeah, that's true. And I think Batman forgot his years of training. You were mentioning it, but like when he was running across the top of the card maze, he kept on like, I thought he was going to do the windmill arms at one point, you know what I mean? Like he kept on being like, whoa, whoa. And I'm like, dude, you should have a major sense of like balance. Like, yeah,
one step changes direction. He's like, oh my God. Yeah.
Again, that's how Batman dies. It's just like, nah, that's the worst way to go.
Robin's like, come on, man. Like, that's my bread and butter right there. Can't fucking balance.
I like how Batman points out to Hatter that he's basically turned Alice into like a mindless doll, as you said. I think that's a great way to like really get into Hatter's mind and control his how he's actually feeling and thinking, maybe. Ooh, deeper meaning. And then I always thought it was weird that like this giant dragon statue like crushes Mad Hatter because it's so specific.
Also, when that dragon statue falls, how fucking heavy is it, first of all?
It's gigantic.
Its fingers dig into the ground.
Yes.
And it's being held up by a single rope. Just one rope. That's it. Just one rope.
Unless it's a steel cable. Yeah, it's crazy that heavy.
That is an accident. Absolutely, like, just waiting to happen. One rope, and it's all outside this venue. So if a wind blows, this thing is just like... just blowing all over the place. Like... I've been to the Harry Potter experience in wherever it is, in London and stuff, and they have a gigantic life size of the dragon, and that thing is on like 1,500,000 fucking cables because just one of them snaps and a domino effect happens. So maybe this place has been shut down because maybe there was a lawsuit, something else fell on somebody, because this place is fucking dangerous.
Well, again, I'm saying like Gotham just has the weirdest, most unsafe things for kids. You're like, I'd never take a kid there. But I did find out.
Matt has like, it's not for kids. It's for people that are fans of the book.
So I found out that the dragon statue is actually called a Jabberwocky.
And a Jabberwocky.
A Jabberwocky is a creation by Lewis Carroll, who also wrote the book Jabberwocky, and that's where it's from.
Yeah,
and
he also way down yonder on the Jabberwocky, never knew it had a muddy butter meant to me. Never knew how much that little dragon meant to me.
I don't think that's what Lewis Carroll had in mind when he was writing the the book Jabberwocky, but yeah. But the Jabberwocky is created by the same guy, Lewis Carroll, who wrote Alice in Wonderland. So that's why it was there, because it was from the same author, just a different book. Which, again, I know it's Storyland, but I thought, like, you got all this Alice in Wonderland stuff, then you're like, oh yeah, that other book he did, Jabberwocky, just throw that fucking thing up there. Like, that's fine.
I'm sorry, I just had this song stuck in my head now. Have you heard the song Chattahoochee?
No.
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, never knew how much that muddy water meant to me. No, I just picture about a dragon.
No, but I'm glad it made you happy.
A lot about women and a lot about love.
And then the end of this episode is obviously Hatter witnesses Alice and Billy reunite and realizes that he's never going to be with her. And he cries himself into a little sad pile. And then we see a sad turtle statue shed a tear. And that's the end of the episode.
Do you think this dude's a virgin?
That is a good question. I don't know.
He's like, oh, no. He's like, I fuck all the time. I'm getting laid left, right, and center. I just really like this lady.
I've been dating a lot of walruses instead of Alice's, if you know what I mean. All right, so top three. Does this make your top three episodes?
No, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think it's better than I expected, but definitely not top three. And just a reminder, our top three, again, in no particular order, are On Leather Wings, Two-Face Part One, and Joker's Favor. And yeah, then an honorable, like, almost third place was Feet of Clay Part Two, which is still way up there for me as well. Okay, our next episode is Dreams in Darkness. Do you remember what that's about?
Well, it's not going to be the other Harry Potter, the other Mad episode, is it?
No, it's actually a Scarecrow episode.
Damn, Scarecrow's getting some screen time early on in Batman the Animated Series.
I think it's because he was a villain that was so underused that they're like, let's try and use Scarecrow a lot. And they created a lot of plots around his fear toxin. This one is, I think, from memory serves me right, this is my favorite Scarecrow episode in Batman the Animated Series, not the new Batman Adventures, but this one coming up, because I just like the way... I like the story in this, basically, and I won't spoil it for you if you don't remember, but there's some really cool stuff, and it's got very comic book vibes to it, especially because we get some narration from Kevin Conroy as Batman, which is really interesting. So we're going to have that next. We'll have that coming next week. All right, we're going to go into our games now, which is Riddle Me This, Will.i.am.
Focus! Focus! Focus!
But you'll still have to answer the riddle.
I can't believe it's luck.
Oh, darn.
Now there's a riddle for you.
A lucky guess, that's all.
Now, no sore losers.
This is a game I play with my brother where I ask him three questions on the episode we just watched to make sure he was paying attention. Feel free to play along at home or in your car or wherever you are. Okay, question one, buddy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Question one is, what is Batman's usual breakfast that Alfred makes him?
Toast, which I thought was an interesting choice for Batman. He's getting a lot of wheat in the morning. I thought he'd be more of a yogurt type of man.
Or an egg man, yeah?
Yeah, an egg man, yeah. Goo-goo-ka-choo. Toast, did he say coffee?
He did, yes. Toast,
coffee.
Toast,
coffee, and bandages.
Yes, that is correct. That is the full list of his usual breakfast. Question two. Name three hats or head accessories that Mad Hatter puts his mind control cards in this episode.
Headband.
Yep.
French beret, I believe.
Beret is correct, yes.
Just like someone's ear, right? The guy that's like, make sure you lock up, Mr. Whatever.
Well, no, that was his police hat.
Oh, police hat, okay.
Security guard hat, yeah, that he had it in. And that's, yeah, because an ear is not a head accessory.
And fez.
And a Turkish fez, and also a fedora as well. I think the, is it Billy?
I hardly know him.
Billy has a fedora. We got the bandanas and also the chef hat. That's the full list of head accessories. I'm not counting the, like, giant walrus head and things he makes. That's silly. But yeah, as far as normal headwear that we wear, that was the full list. And then finally, question three, what's the one thing that Hatter's mind control card enhances?
What do you mean enhances? What? Oh, strength.
That's correct. I was going to say, you said it earlier. Strength is what is enhanced by his mind control device, which is, again, very convenient. But you got 3 out of 3. Well done, buddy. Smash that one. All right, so our next category, which is Ace the Bat Sound. This is a game that we play with you, the listener. Each week, I'll play a brief music clip from the show, and you have to guess who the character is or the title of the episode that the music belongs to. The answer to each clip will be revealed in the following episode. So last week, we had this music clip. And if you still don't know, here's a clue of a voice clip from that episode.
Frog, the rolls, if you please. You're not Frog. Where is he? He's not here. Not here! And after all I've done for you, ungrateful little monsters.
All right, buddy. I know you don't have to guess this is for our listeners, but just as a clue... if I said to you, yes, 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 can you guess where this music is from?
That's from the Sewer King.
Which is the name of the character, but what's the name of the episode? Do you remember?
Sewer Me Timbers.
Yes.
Sewer? I hardly know her.
The The episode title is Underdwellers, or The Underdwellers. Yeah. Okay, and here's the music clip for next week's episode, where you have to name the episode that the music is from. All right, that's one we haven't reviewed yet, but I'm kind of looking forward to going back into it. And it has to do with, if I said to you 2001 A Space Odyssey, I think you have an idea. Bye bye!
Go, go! Love the fish version of that song.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is, it's a beat. That's very true. I was cracking up because our last episode, just like you being like when you were looking at that homeless guy and you're like, that was me when I was younger, just like listen to fish, long hair, like jam it out. Oh, that's good stuff. All right, it's our next category, which is You've Got Mail.
Oh, by the way, this came for you an hour ago by Messenger.
You've got mail.
Thank you, Alfred.
This is where I take all your comments, emails, messages, and especially podcast reviews and read them out on the pod. So first up, we've got listener Reed Smith on Spotify on our toy review episode. He says, thank you guys for the shout out. Thank you guys for giving your thoughts on all the toys. I also enjoyed listening to the Spider-Man toys review when you guys had that episode that you had on Spider-Man the Animated Series podcast. So thank you, Reed, for listening to that as well. Yeah, guys, we used to do a Spider-Man podcast. We will probably go back because we have like 11 episodes to review at some point. But if you wanted more content of us where our sound quality is nowhere near as good, then go check out Spider-Man the Animated Series podcast.
Mr. The first time you want to do a video podcast and it's only to show off that you bought yourself a Shure microphone. We all know what you're doing here.
Okay, a next listener review is Japruit, or Japruit on Spotify. We've heard from Japruit before. This is on our Matt Valencia interview when we interviewed the voice of Tim Drake and Robin.
How is it spelled?
Japruit, which is J-E-P-R-U-I-E-T-T. Japruit. That's how I think it's...
Japruit.
Japruit? I hardly knew it. Okay.
Japruit. It sounds like some sort of like...
It sounds like a fruit. Like a tropical fruit.
No, it sounds like some sort of like liqueur from Scandinavia or something. Hey, have you tried the Japruit yet? It's really good.
Okay, Japruriet said on our Matt Valencia interview, I enjoyed hearing Matt Valencia's overall experience of voicing Robin. It was fascinating to hear his interactions with Mark Hamill and other actors for the show. Yeah, that was a great interview.
That might be my personal favorite interview we've ever done.
Well, you haven't been on a lot of the ones that I've done with other guests.
Yeah, no, I said that we've done. I like that he was around our age and he was so candid about stuff and his stories. Like to hear his stories from like the perspective of someone our age, I thought that was great.
That was good. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Then we got back on the show.
We got listeners Joseph, who said, I love Elvis Al Ghul, and JD7076, who said, I can't with the King Al Ghul. It's killing me.
So, oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, League of Shadows, baby. Uh-huh.
Oh, it was a pit. Ooh, what a pit. It was, really was such a pit.
Hey, detective. Uh-huh.
Hey there, detective.
Then we've got Jack McCullough, 9417 on YouTube, says, I am bondage. I am rigging. I am Gimp Man.
Oh, that's a classic. I actually forgot about that. That's very funny.
That's good fun.
I still don't remember what rigging is. You have to tell me what that is again.
Do you want me to tell you now?
Yeah, go on.
It's all to do with like suspended people, like ropes and, you know, and chains and stuff. But it's basically you're an expert at like tying someone up and being able to suspend them and all of that stuff. There's rigging for you.
You would know.
By the way, my lighting, I look like a Force ghost from Star Wars. I look like I'm like, ah, but did you know?
You look like when Obi-Wan shows up in Empire. Like, sup, Luke?
You must go to the Dagobah system.
Where I'm turning blue, like fucking in the middle of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, and I've eaten the piece of fucking chewing gum. Oompa, loompa, doobadee-doo. I am a fatty, and you will be too. What do you get when you gobble down sweets? You look like this fatty under the sheets. Doobadee-doo.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, like, at least my
colouring looks like I'm actually like at Arkham.
Yeah,
it's And there's like the red here as well from the reflecting light of my light. Looks like I'm there.
Well, maybe it looks like the computer screen light on my face in the Batcave. Eh? Eh?
Nah, no? Shut up, Force Ghost.
All right, are you ready for the next one?
Yes, I'm very ready.
Well, that's your John Lennon.
Yes, I'm a Force Ghost now. I was murdered. I came back as a Force Ghost.
Okay, Unlikely Ally on YouTube has said on our toy review episode, Will has to get the Gordon toy for his wife.
No. I think that's probably the nickname she's given another toy of hers.
You want to use the commissioner tonight? He always puts me out of commission.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord. Oh, and then we've got Corbano, who says, y'all are doing great. Keep up the great content. BTAZ is my favorite animated show of all time. I'm looking forward to every episode of this podcast that you release. Thank you very much, Corbano. That's very nice. Thanks for writing in. And finally, we have a listener, first-time listener writing in, Justin Helm on email. Justin says, hey, Alex and Will, love the pod and I've been listening to it nonstop for about a month now. Your reviews are great and I love the facts that you bring to each episode as well as the funny scenarios you both create. Truly one of the best podcasts out there and most definitely the number one Batman the Animated Series podcast. I also have a question for you both. If you could take any episode of Batman and turn it into a movie, which one would you choose?
Probably maybe Almost Got Him. So you could get that range.
Ooh, good choice, bud.
But I was actually talking to my wife about this last night.
What, this question?
No, it's something similar. Where I said, do you know what I would do if I was running DC Comics, the film department? I would make a TV show called Jokers. And it would just be an anthology series where we can get all these different fucking actors that we've all gone, Willem Dafoe as the Joker, or David Tennant as the Joker. Mm. Or could you imagine if, what's his name? The I Am Invincible guy.
Oh, what? Why would he be the Joker?
Because I think he looks exactly like the pre-Joker from Killing Joke.
Oh, yeah, I guess he does.
And
yeah.
What's his name? It starts with an A. He's the host of The Traitors right now. The Traitors. I don't know. Oh, what's his name?
I can't remember his name, bud.
Alan.
No, you're right. Alan.
Alan.
Just Alan. Oh, here we go. We're both looking it up.
Alan Cumming. Okay, Alan Cumming. I think he'd be a great Joker. And just do that and just do little stories like you could do Laughing Fish and like you could do like all these little like just one-offs where they're all different universes. You could even have different Batman. Like,
yes,
let's just have some fucking fun. Like all these fucking people are just like trying to do all the serious, like, it blends with this and this and this and this, and, like, we got to take it seriously. No, let's just have some fucking fun. I want to have some fun.
Yeah. My choice for an episode to turn into a movie is actually On Leather Wings. I think On Leather Wings would be an amazing film. I think we haven't seen, like, the
Mike Flanagan's Batman movie.
I guess so. Yeah, Mike Flanagan, that would be a good one for him to helm. Is like, I would love to see a giant man-bat monster and like it done in like the 50s horror style as well. I think that would work really well for it. So that's my answer to that question. Good question. Thanks for writing in, Justin. All right, and if you enjoy this podcast, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review on whatever you're listening to us on right now, as it helps us back grapple up the charts and attract both new listeners and guests. And if you leave a review, we might read it out on the pod at the end of each episode. And please subscribe or follow us on your preferred podcast catcher of choice if you haven't yet already. Also, you can follow us on social media at BatmanTASPod on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, everywhere, but the app formerly known as Twitter, which is at BatmanTASPod1. And that's because why?
Because we are the number one Batman, the Animated Series podcast.
You're goddamn right. In the description of this episode, you'll find a tip jar where you can gift us any amount of money you can afford to give, if you so wish. As we aren't billionaire playboy philanthropists, any amount you can afford to give us is not necessary, but always greatly appreciated. And finally, you can follow me everywhere at Chef Alex Robson, and you can follow Will on his socials to stay up to date on what he's working on now and get a glimpse into the workday of a comic book artist and writer. Will, where can our listeners find you?
Anywhere on the internet, including YouTube, at Robson Inc., and that's R-O-B-S-O-N-I-N-K, or you can go to my website, speechcomics.com, sign up to my newsletter so you know when I launch my next Kickstarter, and sign up for my Patreon if you're an aspiring artist, because I will help you get from point A to point B, with point B being in the business.
Yes,
A, that's point right. A is aspiring, B is business. Boom. Done it.
Okay, we're going to do our last category of the day now, which is what you're putting in your holes. Buddy, what are you filling up those empty buckets that you call your holes and getting them so full up of content? What are you stuffing in there?
I've started watching The Traitors with my wife, which is a very easy-to-watch reality show, which is about all these people live. They're all sent to a Scottish manor. And at the manor, only about two or three of them are chosen to be traitors, and the rest are faithful. And what happens is it's so weird that I'm explaining this show to you. What happens is that each episode they have to try and find out who's a traitor, and they vote one person off at the end. And it's really exciting because around the table, like, they might be trying to vote off like a faith on you, like, no, no, that person's innocent and stuff like that. And the whole point is that it will come down to like, it starts with like 30 people. It'll come down to like two or three. And if they don't get the traitors out by the end of the game, then whatever the big cash prize is at the end, whether it's £1 million or whatever, if there's a traitor there, then the traitor wins all the money and the faithfuls win nothing. So
that sounds fun.
You want to get rid of them. And it's a fun show. I've been watching the English version, which is good, but my wife loves it. So she's also watching the American version, which is just like the over the top, obviously, version. Like, sure. As I said, like the English version, the host is that lady from Strictly, like with the super dark raccoon makeup.
Oh, I know you're talking about, yeah. Is it with the fringe?
Yeah, she's quite a bland host compared to Alan Cumming, who's the host of the American one, who comes out in these fabulous Scottish like outfits of right. like royalty, and he's just like an absolute gay king icon as he comes out, and he always has like these little tip fedoras, and he's like, "Welcome to my Scottish castle, where some of you are faithful, but the others are traitors." And it's like, I'm like, he is fucking bringing it. Like compared to the other lady, that's like,
is that why you were mentioning Joker earlier? Because he's like obviously coming out in more eccentric outfits, and he obviously has that sense of style.
He wore an outfit the other day that was like all purple, and I was like, oh man, look at that. He's the fucking Joker right there. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so I've been enjoying that. I've also been watching The Love on the Spectrum, which is just a brilliant show. And what else am I filling into my holes? I'm going to watch Killers of the Flower Moon, so I'm going to check that out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very long movie.
Yep. And then what else?
Well, I'll tell you what we both watched.
Really busy.
Is The End of Fargo.
Yep, End of Fargo, which was fine.
It was okay. It wasn't as good as I was hoping, as good as other episodes in this season have been, but I was still satisfied. But yeah, it definitely went in directions I did not expect, and I felt like that grand finale kind of, you know, you were thinking that ranch thing was going to be the whole episode. It was over in like 15 minutes, and it was kind of anticlimactic, wasn't it?
It was. It was very anticlimactic. And sure, there was great stuff that happened where you know, Jon Hamm gets his absolute perfect revenge for a character that's done the wicked stuff he's done. But like, I don't think there was any need to kill the police officer in that.
No.
I don't think there was any need to do. I know Fargo just has to do something that's like wanky and
yes.
Like, I don't know why. Who said, like, it's like a part of the theme of the show, because it's like, season one, you're like, it could be religious stuff going on. And then season two, it's like, aliens. Remember aliens?
Maybe.
And like,
yeah.
And they always have to chuck in something that's like wanky in there. And I'm like, stop it. Like, this is so good. Get your guy that's been alive for 500 years because he's a sin eater. Like, well, get that stupid wank out of my fucking good
content. I know. And just like, or leave it in such an ambiguous way that you don't know for sure. But like
don't show me a flashback from 500 years ago. I know. Where he's eating someone's sins.
because it doesn't make sense and it's silly. It's
the same in season two when Kelly Culkin looks up and
there's a fucking like UFO. Like,
UFO. And I'm like, no, stop
yeah,
it. Get Why out are you here. Doing this?
Yeah, I agree.
It just makes me angry.
Yeah, but it was still good. I'm watching The Sopranos and plowing through that, which I'm still really
imagine you're watching The Sopranos and it's like, hey, Tom, there's a fucking UFO in the sky. Whoa. You'd be like, what? Fuck off.
Hey, Tom, I've been eating sins for 500 years.
Yeah. They call him the Sin Eater. He's going to come around here and he's going to eat all fucking sins because this place is full of them.
That was like the best Tony Soprano I've ever done.
That was very good. Then I've got, I went to go see the movie Poor Things, which was, it's up for a lot of nominations and stuff. Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo are in it. Willem Dafoe, so many great people. And I won't spoil anything because I know you'll eventually probably see this movie.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
Very pleasantly surprised. Didn't know anything going into it, and I'm so glad I didn't, because I was just like, this is why, like, I used to love going to the movies, to the cinema, because it was just a standalone movie where, yes, it had a pretty good big budget behind it, but it was a person, a director, because he's the writer as well, being like, I have a vision. And I'm going to put that vision on screen. And yeah, it's got so many underlying themes. And yeah, there's a little bit of wank at points where it's like, obviously, you're being a bit artsy and creative.
It is an art house film, that's for sure.
Definitely. But with a big budget and, like, you know, quite a lot of people in it. And I respected the hell out of it. And I was like, I haven't gone to the movies and seen a movie like this in so long. And I'm so glad I did, because it wasn't a cash grab. It wasn't like I was watching this and they're like, and we stick around for the post credits because you don't know what's going to happen. You know, like, it was none of that. It wasn't like
I heard it has a pretty weak third act. That's the only thing I've heard.
I enjoyed the third act. I thought the third act was pretty good. But the first two acts are definitely the strongest for sure. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I was like, man, I want more movies like this. And then
I think the best content is always when it's like a writer director or an artist writer. Like, for instance, I'll tell you what I have been filling into my holes. I started actually reading Sin City for the first time, and I know this is like classic wig, like you read something, you're like, this is the best thing I've ever read, but I actually think that this is Frank Miller's best work. I like it better than The Dark Knight Returns.
Wow.
Better than Year One, better than Daredevil Born Again. That Marv story is so fucking good. Like, the lines and just everything about it is just pure noir, and just, it's written so, so damn well that and the art is just incredibly beautiful. I've seen the Sin City movies. I love the movies. I've looked through the comics, but actually sitting down and reading it, it's been a fucking treat. It is beyond good.
Well, that's cool. The night is hot as hell. Yeah. I'm staring at a goddess.
She's telling me she wants me.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's great dialogue. I've actually read the Sin City books. I read them a really long time ago when I actually was on that break. Well, not break. When I was kicked out of college for a semester and I came back.
On a break!
So yeah, they are very good. But Poor Things was also excellent. We went and checked out. We've seen The Favourite, which is another movie the director did, and we've enjoyed that. We've seen that. We saw that like a few years ago. And then we checked out The Lobster, which...
Yeah, I've never seen it. It's a movie I've always wanted to see that just for some reason always falls off my radar.
Well, I got it on my Apple, so if you wanted to watch it,
can
watch it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and enjoyed it. It was weird, weirder than Poor Things, but I still enjoyed it. So, good stuff all around. And then the other thing I checked out is Spider-Man No Way Home, the extended edition, is on Netflix. And I've not seen the extra scenes. And when I'm at the gym and I'm like just doing like cardio on the treadmill, I'm not running, I'm just like doing a steep incline walk, I've just stuck it on. And you know what, man? As much as I was just saying, like, I really enjoyed watching an art house movie and stuff, I think No Way Home is the last good Marvel film.
Absolutely.
And I'm amazed that the movie got made and like everybody signed on. And the story is actually really good. And I was watching and I was like, oh yeah, Doctor Strange shows up and then we got this. And I'm like, this is a great fucking movie. I know it's not like breaking news. And the extra scenes are fun. Like, I think it adds like extra layers of like teen comedy, which is what this these movies have always been kind of targeted. So I think it's just been great fun to watch that. And that's all I'm putting in my holes. That's what I'm stuffing in there. And they filled me up pretty good.
Nice.
Filled me up with content juice.
Content juice?
Yeah. I wasn't going to say content cum. Content juice, yeah, it's good stuff.
Fill you up with all that content, come on.
Is there anything you want to add before we jet off?
Fill me with that content, custard.
Content custard. Oh god,
no jam in this donut, baby.
Oh.
Anything I want to add? Come out April for my next Kickstarter. It's going to be great.
That's right. Well, that's all the time we've got for this week. Join us next time where we'll continue talking all things Batman, the animated series. Until then, I've been Alex Robson.
I've been Will Robson.
And remember that we are Vengeance. We are the Night. We are a podcast. Goodbye.
Adios, amigos.
Toodles.
Finally lost a button to send me to Arkham.
I like your background.
I've gone crazy. It seems like sometimes my microphone disappears. Oh,
I don't know
I'm
about
losing
my...
it.
How's my lighting? Is my lighting like, I feel like a bit all over the place with my lighting?
It's a bit shit. Unlike my lighting.
See, I don't know about that.
I got That's a nice cool light. With my black shirt, I'm looking a bit Michael Keaton and 89 right now. Hang on. Wait. You do.
Now, I would say Superman for that, but you're going Michael Keaton.
Well, he took his glasses off and looked at the bat symbol. That's a classic.
It's a classic. All right, this is the lighting. Everybody, if you're listening to this, you're like, what the fuck are they talking about? We're testing out video. So if you're watching it, it was a success with video. And if you're not watching it, then it didn't work.
And if you're just listening to it, it's not entertaining because you have no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
My background is Arkham Asylum, fellow listeners.
And I'm in the Batcave.
Mm. And he spent lots of money on a green screen, so his doesn't flicker, where I just clicked the application that it's built into Zoom, and here I am. It looks just as good.
it does, but mine doesn't work for some reason. That's why I got the green screen. And I didn't buy it. I got it as a gift.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. All right. What's going on with you today, then?
Just taking my doggy for a nice stroll, a nice winter stroll. This is not going to be interesting. I was about to elaborate, like, and we found a new path, and it's a dry path, which means in the winter when it's wet, my dog's paws don't get muddy, and it's still in nature. It's brilliant.
Well, I've been hanging friggin' pictures all day and trying to hang the guitars that we have on those, like, wall hooks. And I've just drilled two holes in the wall because you have to put the friggin' plugs in, obviously, to then keep them. And whatever's in the wall can't be drilled past a certain length. So the screws are this long, the same with the plugs, but I can only drill.
Do you use a stud finder? You use an electric checker and like to make sure you don't drill into any electrics or into any piping? Like, do you just straight up walk into a wall and drill a hole? Because that's very scary, bud.
I did.
That's no good. So you're saying there's some resistance back there. Yeah, it's probably plumbing.
Yeah, it probably is, isn't it?
It's probably copper piping that you're like, nah, fucking, there's a weird pipe here.
Well, it's by the fireplace. I don't know why it would have that. But
did your drill go through brick? Do you need the specific?
Yeah, it's got the drill brick bit. Okay. Yeah, this is a weird. I mean, we've been having the weirdest chats.
We finally got video, and let's just talk about household like maintenance and upkeep.
I won't go in, but I got really annoyed, and I did a couple classic Robson. Oh, for fuck's sake! And now there's two holes in the wall, and I'm just probably going to hang a picture over it and call it a day.
Just plug up the hole. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah, I know how to do that, but I just don't want it. And then you're going to paint over it. I'm just going to put a picture over it and call
it
a day.
It's so easy. Do you know what paint they used on the wall?
Yeah, we have it here. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want a little... Now, this is very boring, but do you want an adult super hack tip?
Not really, but okay, you're going to anyway.
If you have to... like do a quick paint on the wall, instead of opening up a whole paint can to do it and like the potential of it all drying out and stuff like that, just go to the store and buy like the mini roller test versions of it, which costs like a quid if not less, and just use that to cover up the hole. It's so much quicker and easier.
I stopped listening.
Just cut to your brain just fucking Batman smashing two symbols together. All right, well, speaking of Batman, let's get on with it.
Let's do it, shall we?